the sermon title is, and it's a little bit different from what the bulletin is. As I said, we just had some weird technological challenge between Bev and I. I blame it entirely on Microsoft, because Microsoft's got big, wide shoulders and can take whatever blame I put on it without any trouble at all. The sermon title is, What Does Peace Look Like? And when I was thinking of this, the second Sunday of Advent, Sunday of Peace, I thought, well, what does peace look like when we don't see it anywhere? Because really, if we're looking at the geopolitical sense, it's not a peaceful time. It's not the worst. We're not in the middle of a world war. Let's be grateful for that. But so what does peace look like? And we have a couple of different pictures of it. But the most obvious one, perhaps, is a picture in Isaiah. And we have this picture of, well, especially in verse 6, a picture of astonishing change, where we have wolves living with lambs and leopards lying with goats, and children are going to play with cobras and things, which I must confess I would have dearly loved as a child. And would probably now, if I could play with a cobra, I probably would. I quite like them. I don't like being poisoned, so I'm not going to play with one. I'm looking forward to this day. And when I look at this, what I see is that this is the peace that comes from a just God. Because this is peace with justice. And peace with justice is one of those weird things. The word justice shows up most frequently in sort of common parlance in punitive natures taken against people. You know, I get justice by that person suffering because of what they did to me. It's a perfectly normal, a perfectly understandable human response to things. But it's not always right. One of the interesting moves that we're seeing little tiny glimpses of is the notion of restorative justice. And a friend of mine, I guess he's still my best friend, but I don't see him very often because he's no longer with us, somebody vandalized his car for no better reason than that. Threw a rock through the window. And he was given two choices. He could let, because they knew who did it, he could let the process of the justice system proceed, and this person would then go to some kind of jail or some kind of a sentence or whatever else, or he could choose restorative justice. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, restorative justice is where, in a controlled situation, that you two get together. And you bring someone who, sort of a support person or an advocate if you feel the need. And the person who did the act will do the same. And so he brought his daughter along. If nothing else, she was looking into moving into restorative justice as a university course. So he thought it would be a good teaching moment. And the young man brought his grandma, I believe. And he said it was the most extraordinary experience of his life, because the person who was sort of the neutral person, the arbitrator, if you will, asked Eric, he said, so tell me and tell him, like, what did this do to you? Like, what did it make you feel? How much did it cost? Sure, but all these other things. And so he was given an opportunity to say that it made him feel unsafe in his own neighborhood. And yeah, it cost this much or whatever else. And then the young man was, well, what do you have to say? How do you, like, why did you do it? What was going through your mind? And so he said, sort of spoke his piece, trying to fit in with a group of other people and all that other kind of thing. And they said, well, what do you think a good outcome is? Like, what should we do here? Because you have options. You can continue to charge him, and he can have a criminal record. You can walk away and say these things happen. And so they worked out between the two of them how much this young man could pay towards the repair of the vehicle. And that was it. The two of them, under the assistance of this arbitrator, talked about this process that got them to where a rock was through a window, what it meant to each of them, and then what do we do to restore some of that? And obviously, I can't speak for the young man, but Eric left it feeling good, feeling different than he had going in. Not because the young man was punished, because he wasn't particularly punished. He was made to repair the damage that he'd done. But that was about it. And I've thought about that ever since, that most of our justice is punitive. It's just to teach somebody a lesson. We tell ourselves the lie that it will keep people from reoffending, that it's a deterrent. I have an odd taste in literature, as you will about to find out. I read the memoir of Albert Pierpont, the last official executioner in Great Britain. Fascinating story, as he talked about how he did everything he could to make this as humane as it could possibly be, fully aware that he was the instrument of what was called justice. And he said that from the beginning to the end, he said there is no reason for this other than revenge. It didn't deter anyone. It was just to make people feel better because they taught somebody a lesson. It changed nothing. It affected nothing except it destroyed the life. That's not justice. Sometimes we think it is. And the difficulty is that on the whole, we're just not wise enough to be just. All of you who have raised children, been around children, have seen children on television, at some point or another, you've heard a child say, "That's not fair." And they're almost always right. Having twins, boy, do you get this early. That's not fair. They got this, I got that. And what we did, and our poor children got this at a very early age, we said, fair is not the same. Do you want exactly the same thing for both of you? Because that would be a kind of justice. But would it be fair? And they never wanted that. They wanted their own and theirs, which is, of course. I have days myself that I feel exactly the same way. But helping them to see, and helping me to see, that justice isn't about everything being the same for everyone, and that the same action getting the same response always, which is what our legal system is based on to a large extent, just isn't right. It just doesn't do it. Because when we look here in Isaiah, we have the wolf living with the lamb, the leopard with the goat, calf and the lion. We don't see God just killing all the carnivores. We don't see a vision in which all of the bad things, and in this case it's obviously these large cats and things and wolves, it's not that they're gone. It's that they've learned to live together. They have been fundamentally changed. And I think about that, and I think, so how do I do that? Well, first of all, I can't affect wolves. I can't even control my dog. If you've ever been on a Zoom call with us and somebody rings the doorbell, you know, you can say, "Shush, be quiet, Augie, we know." And you will say it until he stops. If you say nothing, he will go until he stops. That's just the way it is. I can't control those. So what do I do? What do we do? What does peace look like? Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. And I think about that. And as I do, whenever I'm thinking about Scripture, I run it through Jesus, because that's where I go about Scripture. And where I go about Scripture is always, what is the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with your heart and your soul and your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that I can do. That I can do with you people. I can accept you. And that's a form of peace. Because the lack of acceptance is never peaceful. Being rejected or ignored, Having someone pretend you don't exist, that doesn't bring peace to you. I don't think it brings peace to the other. Sometimes it brings quiet. But that's not the same. For me, peace looks like everyone accepting one another. Does that mean that I approve of everything everybody does? No, it doesn't. Does it mean I can accept everyone? And I don't think it's shameful to admit that I don't think I can. There are some people that I just can't yet get a hold of. Brought that up with my therapist, and they said, well, you're a human. Welcome to the race you are. And we're all that way. But I can do everything I can to accept one another. I can't make Putin stop trying to take over the Ukraine. I can't stop the rising trend of fascism in the United States and Canada as well and other places. I can't do that. I'm not that big. I'm not that important. But I can accept the people who I'm with, my coworkers, you, my family, even when they do the things that drive me crazy, my neighbors who never shovel their walk. Okay, that's not true. The neighbors that have shoveled his walk twice in the last 30 years. I can accept that, and I can accept him. It doesn't mean I have to like the fact that there's snow where I might want to walk or anything else, but I can accept that. This is about dealing with what is, and being at peace with that person means I have to accept them as they are. If I have an opportunity to speak into their lives and make them a little bit different, a little bit better, then absolutely. But until that time, I can't wait for them to be perfect for me to accept them. Because I'll never get there. I wouldn't want a perfect neighbor. Oh my goodness, I've got enough guilt from a high control based upbringing already. I don't need it anymore. What does peace look like? Peace looks like you accepting one another and me accepting one another. Because we are called to be peacemakers. We are not called to create peace everywhere. Blessed are the peacemakers. Doesn't mean that until you get the Nobel Prize, you've failed. Every time you don't respond in a way that brings more aggression, more violence, even of thought, you're a peacemaker and you're blessed. Because peace looks like people accepting one another and making a life in which we can all live together. Sure, we'll have different ideas. Sure, we'll do things that somebody else thinks are just flagrantly wrong. But at the same time, we will become the people that we are created to be when we are accepting of each other as they are. Because that's what God did with us, accepted us as we were, and then moved us to where we are. I'd love to be able to say that I'm perfect at this. I'd even like to say that I'm peaceful all the time. But I can't. But what I will say is that I recognize peace when it's in myself. And it's when I'm accepting the people around me rather than judging them, rather than deciding what's wrong with them, and instead just saying thank you for who you are. And for the God that created you. If you're doing things that I don't like, that are wrong, you'll figure that out in your own time. Amen.